traipsing on here. Well, I feel like a stranger here tonight almost. Been going so long. But I'll tell you one. We have some fine Bible-believing churches in there, but I'm biased. I still think we're the the greatest, not even a close second to us. So, but I'm, as I said, I'm prejudiced and biased and all that. But let me make just a couple of announcements. By the way, I have been busy preaching. I've only one or two Sundays that I haven't preached since I retired. And been to Turkey, seven churches of Asia, and seven churches of Revelation. Going Monday to India, writing a book, so I'm not exactly loafing, I'll tell you. But I thank the Lord that he's opening doors, and I'm able to get in these churches and preach. But let me make just a couple of announcements. First of all, I appreciate Brother Jody and the church helping with additional expenses on my trip to the seven churches, and I thank you for that. I'll say more about how I got the trip in just a few moments. But then I mentioned Brother Jody, and he said I could make this announcement. 40 men will be here Friday afternoon at 1:45, and they're preachers. Most of them are preachers. They're on a Baptist history tour. They'll be over Thursday at Sandy Creek over North Carolina, where the great revival took place, and the people out of that revival came over and started Buffalo Ridge. So they'll be over there on Thursday. Then they'll come over here, be here Friday at 1:45, and I'll speak to them on our church here in the auditorium. And then I'll take them up Buffalo Ridge, the old site and the cemetery up on Buffalo Ridge. And somewhere around 3:15 to 3:30 Friday, then they will come back. And Dr. James Beller, I meant to bring that American Crimson Red. He's a Baptist historian and a great preacher. And he'll be speaking in this auditorium, and I asked the tour guide of this Baptist history tour if I could invite our people. You can come sit in the back, preachers will be up here, and enjoy this service. So if you want to come and hear this great man of God, Friday, sometime around 3:15, 3:30, whenever we get back from Buffalo Ridge, he'll be in here and speak to them. So I appreciate that. Now, tonight, you've been given one of the maps here on the Asia Minor, which is Turkey now, and you can look at that, and it's interesting. I didn't realize this, that all of those seven churches are right in western Turkey, and five of them are in a line right up at two are right on the Aegean Sea, and the other five aren't far inland from the Aegean Sea. I guess that's the way Aegean, I guess that's, since you don't know probably more than I do about it, that sounds pretty good, Aegean Sea. And but it was a real privilege to go there. And I'm just going to, first of all, show you a few. I have about over 500 slides. A man sent me two CDs, and I took a couple of cameras myself. But we'll just have a few tonight. I don't know how many is here, 30 or 40, something like that, Brother Garwood. And I won't spend long on the slides or PowerPoint, whatever you call it here tonight. So we'll get started. I appreciate Brother Gary helping me with this. And now let's see, I have the. Lights?
I
Or as Dr. Lakin used to say, that's a drunk hiccuping priest. Great. Okay, thank the Lord. Well, this is the tour. There's 23 of us. Most of those are from an independent Baptist church in Orange City, Florida. I think about five there, and then there's the Muslim translator right in the middle. On that, we're in Ephesus, I think, there. Or maybe that might have been Smyrna. I believe Ephesus, though. And point the wrong way, okay. There we go. Now that's a Roman built amphitheater there, and there's two or three of those, and I think that's in Ephesus there. And I guess you know who that character is. There we go. Now this was on a hill, I believe outside of Ephesus, where it was the Virgin Mary was supposed to have her bodily assumption from that hill, and there was a chapel there for her. And that was what they baptized in the first century. So you can see immersion has been practiced for over 2,000 years. Now, the first day, I'll say more about that later, we went on a boat to 4-hour boat ride from Western Turkey there to the Isle of Patmos on that boat. It was wonderful. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. And there I am on the boat. And there's a fine Christian couple. Now the lady there is Curtis Hudson's sister. Both of these, their previous mates died and they married each other, and she was that lady's a great soul winner, just like Curtis. And there, now we're approaching the Isle of Patmos. And what a thrill. I'll say, I won't to say much right now. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. And we're going to go in a few minutes. I'll say we went down in a cave where John received the book of Revelation, the Lord revealed it to him. But they wouldn't let us take any pictures or any cameras that flashed in the cave. So that is right outside the cave. Looking at the little city of Scala, there's a city about 1,500 on the Isle of Patmos. And there's only 3,000 people on it. Everybody there is connected with tourism. And it's real interesting. I've never heard of this before. There are no springs or creeks or any way you can get water on that island. The only way you can get it is catch rainwater, or have it brought in. And now that is right outside of the Grotto of St. John, and we went downstairs to get into the cave of where John, I'm going to say more about that, where he received that revelation in just a few moments. And on top of the hill above the cave there in Grotto of St. John is a Greek Orthodox monastery or some kind of a place there in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, St. John, and Christopher, who founded that. And there's right outside of the same place. And after we came off the hill there, we had to have somewhere to eat, and there on the Isle of Patmos, we went in a pizzeria, got hamburgers and pizza there. And there we're on the boat now. It's getting dark, and it's a beautiful sunset that evening. Now, on our way from one of the churches to the other one, we stopped at a Turkish rug place. This was tremendous. It was to see how they made those rugs, and they're just fantastic rugs, and a fantastic price, too, I'll guarantee you. And
I brought home just a couple of, put on the wall, at over $100 a piece. And those are many hundreds of dollars there, you see. But they're beautiful. I'll just give you, just show you a few of them. It's a beautiful rug. Now we're at Laodicea there, and I'll say more about that, how that place was destroyed and almost wiped out. Earthquakes and armies coming in there and devastating the area. And there is our, we're on with Laodicea, and there's our Muslim, of just a fine man, fine man. He knew more about the seven churches of Asia than us Baptist preachers did there. He had a brilliant mind. A great and knew English very well. We're still at Laodicea there. There I am at Laodicea again. Now we're at, I'm just emphasizing tonight that Laodicea and Philadelphia, the church at Philadelphia, but it's not called, I'll give you in a few minutes just what the city is called now, but that's a Philadelphia hotel. And the city of Philadelphia there. We're on the church, the old church of Philadelphia is just one block. The remains of the city of Philadelphia is one block. And we're looking out. Now we're on in that block, enclosed block of the ruins of the church of Philadelphia. And just there's some of the ruins there. Now the city all around, it's built on those ruins, so they'll never excavate that city because it's excavate those, the old city of Philadelphia. Because there's a beautiful new city built on top of those ruins. But there's one block of the remains of the Church of Philadelphia there. Still, we're in Philadelphia. Now there's a, right outside where we came in to the block that contains the ruins of the Church of Philadelphia, right across the street was a big, huge Muslim mosque, and that's all over Turkey. You see that? Now there we are. I was asked to speak, and I'll say more about this in a few minutes at the church at Philadelphia. There I am, and the short man of the hat on is the pastor of the church in Orange City, and the man right behind is the Masafa, and. I'm preaching, and I read the church at Philadelphia, the passage there in Revelation 3, and the Lord gave me good liberty preaching. Now, let me say this. That Masafa, we all loved him, but we were sort of afraid to witness to him. I mean, him Muslim. And we're waiting on an opportunity. And the Lord really gave me liberty preaching there. He got up and said a few words before I got up, and he's a very able speaker and could speak good in English in describing all the historical situation there in that city and the Church of Philadelphia. But it has a Turkish name now. But when I, let me see if I'm through here. I'm just about through, I think. When I got through, you turn the lights on. When I got through speaking, I turned to, the Lord was really, I felt the presence of the Lord, and I turned to, Masada, no, that's not it. Well, whatever it is, I've got it written down. I said, Masafa, I said, and everybody's listening, and he listened intently to what I had to say, and I preached, and the Lord helped me, and I knew the Lord wanted me to witness to him, and I said, Masafa, I said, if you'd open your, I looked right at him, and he was smiling, and I was smiling. I said, if you'll open your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I said, you'd make a good Baptist preacher. And he really enjoyed that, and from then on, everybody started witnessing to him. I guess he got witnessed to 4 or 5 times before we left. Well, thank you for the opportunity of being here. I'm just, Brother Jody wanted me to tell
about my trip to the seven churches of Revelation. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the first chapter of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it, or signified it, by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now move down to verse 9 through verse 13. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice. John was in that cave now where I was talking about. We went down 42 steps down to it in the grotto of St. John there. And he was in the Spirit and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And notice that he said, now, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, here's what he saw. I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, and seven candlesticks, one was like unto the Son of Man, capital S, Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. So I'll stop right there. But he was in that cave, Isle of Patmos, and he turned around when he heard the voice and saw the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory. But let's have a word of prayer now before I get started. Now, Father, we thank you for this great privilege of being back here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Thank you, Lord, for all the years you privileged me to be here. Thank you for these dear people that you brought this way. Thank you, Brother Jody, you've raised up, Lord, to continue preaching and teaching on these grounds. Thank you for your hand upon him. Pray you'd bless him. Now, Lord, help me tonight as I relate to the blessings of this trip. Lord, we do pray that you'd give us a great day here Sunday. And Lord, keep your hand upon Brother Jody and Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church till Jesus comes. Now, Lord, help me tonight. I can't preach, confess it before God and man without your help. So would you help me make this a blessing and a challenge? May Jesus be glorified. In his name I pray. Amen. Now, my wife and I were visiting our daughter-in-law and daughter and son-in-law in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, Christmas week. And on Tuesday, December 22nd, we were in a car going near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, all on the way to Sight and Sound Studio in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, to see the Christmas miracle of Christmas. And how many of you have been there? Numbers of you have. A number of you have been to Sight. If you ever have an opportunity to go, man, it'd be good to just take your wife up on something special, drive up there and take them, and it'd be well worth it. The greatest drama, Christian drama in America or anywhere. I remember the first time I went to Sight and Sound, I saw it, three or four years ago, wasn't it, or something like that. We saw the story of Ruth, the story of the kinsman redeemer. And it was such a blessing. It was like a revival service almost. And there were five or six, I might have told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again if I did. There was five or six black ladies behind us. And they got to shout. It was a blessing. They got to carry on there and be glorifying the Lord. And I wanted to get right in there with them, but there's about 2,000 or 3,000 people there. And I had Sister Lassie sitting by me and Laurie. But finally, I thought, well, now, I'm not going to let these five or six black ladies do all the praising of the Lord. And I started, got right in there with them and started praising the Lord. I had a time, and Ellen and Laurie and all of them, Joel probably and the grandchildren about to crawl under the seats there. But I wasn't going to let those black ladies do all the praising the Lord. And by the way, when we got through and we left, the people were smiling, and there were probably Mormons and Catholics and Baptists and Episcopalians and everybody else there. And they weren't offended. They seemed to realize we had something to shout about. But anyway, I'm back to going down there on Christmas week on December 22nd. And on the way, Tuesday before Christmas, in my car, the cell phone rang. The cell phone right here, and I've turned it off. That's a good idea for you. All of you, reach down there and turn your cell phone off right now, if you haven't. And go ahead, Gary. We'll wait till Gary turns his off. But that wasn't, where was I for Brother Gary? He's interrupting me here now. Oh, yeah, my phone's ringing. And I picked it up, and it's Larry Harrison, the bookseller, comes in. You've been here 30-something times, I think. And he said, Brother Lansley, would you like a free trip to Turkey? Well, that hadn't been one of my great desires of my life, to go to Turkey. I had no desire to go to Turkey. And he said, well, Brother Lansley, we're going to tour the, you can have a tour of the seven churches of Revelation. Well, then business picked up then. And I said, I've got to go to India here in about 4 or 5 weeks, but let me think about it. I'll call you right back. Well, everybody in the car thought I'd go, and make a long story short, I called him back. And brother, and told him I'd go. Now, Brother Larry was sick, and the doctor advised him not to go, and it put $4,000 or $5,000 into whatever it cost. I don't know, didn't ask him, but it was a non-refundable. So he gave me a free trip to visit the and tour the seven churches, and we left here on January 6th and caught a flight over there. We didn't catch it. We got on it. But anyway, we got on it over there, Tri-City, and then got on another one over in Charlotte, and finally we wound up in JFK in New York and met the group of from the Independent Baptist Church in Orange City, Florida, great church, and flew on the Turkish Airlines to Istanbul, Turkey, 9.5-hour flight, and then got on a 1-hour flight from there to Smyrna. It's called Izmir now, and we're the first Christian martyrs in Asia Minor took place. It's, folks, we think we have to suffer a little bit, a little trouble. These people died for their faith. Many of them there. But anyway, let me keep moving. The first day of the trip was worth the whole thing. And I mean, I could have come home after that first day and it'd been worth my time going all the way over to Turkey. But we took a 4-hour boat trip to the Greek island of Patmos. And as soon as I got on that boat and started, the Lord started sort of stirring my heart. And I thought of John being exiled on that rocky isle by the Romans. He said, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And here I was about to step foot on the place where this saint of God was given by our Lord this wonderful revelation that I love so much, the book of Revelation. Patmos is a lovely island, not very big. I'm guessing it. I saw the statistics, I've forgotten exactly, but about 5 or 10 miles long, 2 or 3 miles wide. It's not a huge island. But the first thing we did when we got there, they took us to this grotto of G-R-O-T-T-O, grotto, how's that? Grotto, okay, of St. John. And we had to go down 42 steps from down to where the cave was, overlooking the bay and that city of Scala there, the little small city there. I guess the capital, if there is a capital, county seat or whatever it is there. But, and we went down. I thought, well, now, I wasn't going to make that trip down there. I didn't realize what was down there. I thought, no, if John received that revelation there, if I had to crawl down those steps, I'm going down. And on that trip, I didn't let anything hold these old knees. I got that cane, went on all of them. I climbed to the top of things and everything. But anyway, you can do more than you think you can. Do you know that? and playing ball real good. Joey, you can do more. If you just try, you can do a lot more than you think you can. You know that. But anyway, I went down those 42 steps to this large cave.
Now, I'd say the cave was, about two-thirds the size of this choir out to the altar here. That's how big that cave was. And if I'd been John and been exiled to that island, I'd probably gone to that cave too.
And so when I went in the cave, I felt in my spirit that I was on holy ground. I mean, in that cave. And they showed us over in the corner a rock bed or a rock. And then right there was a place where they said he laid his head. And from the back of the cave to the front of it, there's a crack. And when it got to the front of it, it cracked into three, went three directions that crack did. It had one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. And so Preacher Reynolds read the entire chapter of Revelation 1, and 23 of us on the tour, we sang the song Coming Again, and then we sang The King is Coming. And the Greek Orthodox, now that's a Greek island, and the Greek Orthodox allows no service to be held. But they said we could read scripture and sing. And so we read the first chapter, and we sang, and the Spirit of the Lord touched us in that cave. I mean, then he asked me to pray, and I could hardly pray for weeping. And I don't weep unless the Lord touches me. And I thanked the Lord that God will see the Lord soon, the same Lord that appeared to John in this cave here. We'll see him and all the saints that's going on for. And we had a time in spite of those Greek Orthodox telling us not to have a service. And it was a moving experience. Then as we left, we went over to that cave. There's a big entrance in that cave, and we could stand and look out over the harbor there, or cove that comes up into the little city of Scala there on the Isle of Patmos, and it was a moving experience to realize that we stood on the same place, folks. Think of it. And the Spirit of the Lord really worked on my heart. We stood in the same cave at where John was standing when he heard a voice, and he turned around, and there he saw the Lord in all of his glory. I mean, that shouting grounds. If any shout in you now, you'd be blessed there. But anyway, we felt the same Holy Spirit that John felt when he was there in that cave. Then I'm not going to mention any other of the churches, but the next 3 days we visited four of these churches in Revelation 2 and 3. I'm going to mention just the two last churches tonight. That's all the time I'd have for them. Time's about gone anyway. But Turkey is an impressive country, beautiful country of 70 million population, 99%+ Muslim, only 100,000 Christians, 25,000 Jews, and it's a beautiful country. Now, first of all, about Turkey, you chow hounds, here you didn't ask me, how's the gospel progressing in Turkey? You see anybody saved, get a chance to preach and a chance to witness? Or the first thing most of you ask me, how's the food in Turkey? Well, I want to tell you, we stayed in five-star hotels and five-star cafes, and the food was delicious. But tonight, I just want to quickly now go. I'm going to title this "The Tale of Two Cities," and they were contrasting cities. The last Sunday we were there, we went to Laodicea in the morning, and Philadelphia in the afternoon. And the message that Jesus had for these two churches was diametrically opposed to each other. The Savior had nothing but condemnation for the Laodiceans. They had nothing but praise and commendation for the church in Philadelphia. And we visited Laodicea on Sunday morning, as I said, in Philadelphia in the afternoon. First of all, let me just mention just a little bit about the church of the Laodiceans. In Revelation 3, 14 to 19. Now I'm going to have to hurry on this. Most Bible-believing scholars believe these churches, seven churches, as you know, that the seven churches are symbolical of the seven ages of the New Testament church for the last 2,000 years. I believe this also. And Laodicea was first now on our visit Sunday morning, so I'll go to there first. It's listed last in the Bible, you know. And Laodicea represents the last apostate age of the church from 1950 to the rapture. And then the church, this church, I believe, will go into the tribulation. The true church will be called out. Remnants of the old Laodicean church, unsaved church members, are going to the tribulation. And folks, the moral and spiritual things, get this now, the moral and spiritual things have taken a nosedive in America and around the world since 1950, just like the Bible here, I believe, this Laodicean church teaches. Now, there's been some good churches, and we've had souls saved since 1950, and some evangelistic services, but no nationwide revival in America since 1950. There's been none. We had some great, maybe local church, some good church revivals. Lester Roloff said no revival has come on the scene in America since the Revised Standard Version and television came on in the 50s, and he's right. The flood of all these new versions has been what? Since Laodicea came on the scene in 1950. Revised Standard Version came in 1952. Rock music since 1950. Gospel rock since 1950. Moral declension since 1950. Spiritual declension since 1950. We're in the Laodicean church age, folks. The church is seemingly powerless today to throw back the flood tides of ungodliness, nudity and dress since 1950. Ladies in shorts, revealing wear, would be considered brazen 60 to 70 years ago. Now we think nothing about it. That's something. And my daddy, I wouldn't tell you what he used to call women that walked down the street in shorts. And they, now we see shorts and bikinis and nobody's shocked. Nobody's shocked. It's commonplace. And nudity in dress and long hair on men and boys since 1950. Didn't start until about, 1960s, was it? Somewhere along during the Vietnam War and when rock music started. Whoremongering and bastardy since 1950. It's just mushroom. Drug culture is sweeping the scene and across America and around the world since 1950. Many skirts come on, 1956 or somewhere along there. Women burying their bosoms, partially. Since the old time religion is almost a thing of the past since 1950. So the Church of Laodicea pictures the present church age in which we live in. And now let me quickly just say two or three things about it. Now I'm going to give you a little short sermon I preached in Philadelphia. The three things I was going to say about this Laodicean church. I don't have time to dwell on it. It was a lukewarm church, a backslidden and a formal, cold, formal church, and a compromising church, and a deceived church. Look at verse, in chapter 3, verse 17. John wrote in notice to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, the messenger, the pastor, and he said in verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. So, They missed the greatest thing in the world. They had everything but Jesus. You can have everything in this world. If you don't have Jesus, you've missed it all. And it's a shameful church. Jesus said, shame on you in verse 18, because they were wretched and poor, miserable, naked. And Jesus in 16, verse 16, Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And he did too. Armies, that Muslim translator told us of the armies that ravaged Laodicea. And it's a Muslim city now. And finally, Laodicea was destroyed by an earthquake far, far worse than what you see on your television sets that's going on down in Haiti right now. God said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth, and he did. And folks, if America doesn't turn back to God, the rapture's coming or he's going to spew us out of his mouth. Now, on the bus, as we left Laodicea, Brother Reynolds asked me to read Revelation 3, 7 to 13 and say a few words at Philadelphia. I said, Brother John, I said, I didn't bring any sermons with me. And he said, oh, well, just read it and say a few words. So I said, okay, I'll try to come up with a few words. And on the 50, 60 mile ride from Laodicea to Philadelphia, the Lord gave me a few things to say. And I'm going to basically just try to repeat some of what I did. And the Lord gave me great liberty. Now, I can't preach unless the Lord helps me. And the Lord really, the Lord anointed me preaching at the Church of Philadelphia. I felt that Holy Ghost liberty. And that's, And let me just mention a few things about the church in Philadelphia. Now, the city now is not called Philadelphia. It's called Alachihir, something like that, S-H-E-H-I-R. And most authorities, biblical authorities, agree that this, fundamental authorities, agree that this church represents the New Testament church age from 1700 to 1950. That's 2.5 centuries of great missionary activity and evangelism. During the Philadelphian church age, revivals, folks swept all over the globe. In China, Europe, British Isles, Africa, everywhere. Missions and revivals. America saw revivals sweeping all across this land from the time they came, our forefathers came over here to about 1950. We had revivals all across America under Whitfield and Moody and Finney and Billy Sunday and a host of other great evangelists. And there's two or three points I'm gonna, that I gave, you saw me there giving it, to, amidst those runs in the first century church in Philadelphia. First of all, its name in 3:7. To the angel or the messenger, the pastor of the church of the Philadelphia. And the word you know, Philadelphia, two Greek words put together, phileo and Delphia. And that means brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. And this was a church where they loved folks. They loved each other. What a testimony when God's people love each other. And then it was a church with an open door. I want to look at verse 8. And I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I'm not going to read 8 and 10. You can. But when, listen, when God opens a door, no man can close. And when he closes a door, no man can open it. I'll guarantee. Now, not only this church not only heard the word and believed the word, they kept it. But the main emphasis about the church, this church, was that the Lord said they loved each other, the brethren. They loved each other. And no church is a fundamental Bible-believing church, folks, that doesn't love each other. I mean, God will not bless any church where there's bickering and backbiting and hard feelings. The Holy Ghost is quenched in a place like that. Now, at the church in Philadelphia, I gave a few things in conclusion. I gave a few verses on love. Galatians 5:22. The first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. So if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know the first evidence? Is love. Romans 5:5 says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Not tongues, not shouting, not knocking over benches, not running the aisles, not swinging on the chandeliers. And I'm not against emotionalism. I like a little of it. When it's real, I can participate a little bit in it. But listen, none of those is evidence of being spirit-filled. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts with the Holy Ghost. If you get the Holy Ghost, it'll be the one sign is, brother, you just love everybody. You've got the love of God in your heart. Then in John 13:34-35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then notice this, Jesus said, by this, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. How do people know you're saved? How do they know it? How do they know that? What happened? Can you hear me there? There we go. Well, this thing's going out or something anyway. The devil's in here, so let's blame the devil or Obama or somebody. Now, I didn't say the same difference now. I didn't say that. Shut your mouth. I better get back on Philadelphia. I'm talking about love now. I said that in love. You know that. Now, how shall we know be known that we're truly saved? Not, folks, now listen. You know I've preached against everything that wiggles, some things don't wiggle. You know that. But we're not known, really. That we're not known that we're saved by a list of do's and don'ts. You can be a Pharisee and not do this and not do that and not do. I believe in separated living, you know that. But that's not the way you can tell where a person's. Now, I like to see a person, if they're genuinely born again, they ought to live right. But that, Jesus said, it's not because we even claim to be a fundamental, independent, premillennial, independent Baptist. That's not it. Here's the proof. Jesus said, if you have love one to another.
I believe in separation. I believe in being fundamental. But if you ain't got love, you don't have real biblical Christianity. You don't have the Holy Ghost. Now, I closed out, and I've got about 5 minutes here, and I closed out from there on at Philadelphia by saying four things that we all ought to have. Four things we ought to love. And folks, if we're spirit-filled, we will love these things. And I told those people, first of all, we need to love the Lord. You know what, Christians, we ought to do again? We ought to just fall in love with Jesus again. Do you know that? I've been listening to some tape on Lester Roloff singing. He's a great singer. I mean, I'm like, voice might not be good, but he's full of the Spirit. And the song he sung, "For He is so precious to me, for He is so precious to me, 'tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. For He is so precious to me." Folks, fall in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Let me move on quickly. I told them not the Isle of Patmos. Let me get off the Isle of Patmos. Let me get back over to Philadelphia. I said, second, we need to fall in love with the Word of God. I mean, listen, fall in love with the Lord Jesus and you'll love His Word. You'll love His Word. He is the living Word, and right here is the written Word. And you can't love Jesus and not love His book. You can't do it. Let me hurry around. I'm trying to get through here. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes. But also, you need to fall in love. And I told them, I reached over and touched the pastor. And there were most of them in his church. I said, listen, you need to love your pastor. You need to love Brother John. And you need to love Brother Jody. He's your pastor. Love him when he's right. Love him when he's wrong. He won't always be right. And by the way, you ain't either. You're not right all the time. But your wife ought to love you, men, when you're right or wrong. Same with your wife. And he'll be right. He'll be right most of the time. I guarantee. But you ought to love him. Love your pastor and pray for him. That's the way this church will go forward. Love out of loving your pastor and following his leadership. Then, fourth, we ought to love each other. Every one of us ought to love each other. Don't go around cutting each other up. My goodness gracious. The Lord's not in that. The devil will get you to cutting up, fellow man. We need to love each other. And the devil can't stop a church where they love these four things. Now look at verse 9. Now I'm going to wind up here. I've got about a minute or two. I'll be through. Verse 9 of chapter 3. Behold, I've noticed this is a blessed verse here. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Notice this now. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Why? To know that I have loved thee. Now, folks, Jesus said this church, because they loved each other and because they loved His word and did not deny my name, I will make them to know that I have loved thee. Now, that's precious. Jesus loves you tonight. He loves me. As what we used to sing as a child, Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Now, you didn't know that. Yeah, I'm not so lovely at times, and you are not either, but the Lord loves us in spite of ourselves. You know, if you're His child, if you're saved, Jesus loves you. Now, will this church be a church like Philadelphia? I hope we are. I hope. Folks, I believe we are, but if we do, we're going to have to love Jesus. Love His word and love your pastor and love each other. And this church, if you will do that, they people say, well, how to build big, great churches, loving Jesus and loving His word and loving your pastor, loving each other, will tree the possum. It'll get the job done. And this church can be a greater church in the future than it's ever been in the past. If we'll love the Lord, love that book, every day, get in that book, and you'll get closer to God. You come to this altar, not worth 5 cents if you don't get in the book. You need to come to the altar when God speaks, and then you need to go back home and discipline yourself and get in the book every day. And love your pastor,
of each other. Great things are going to happen at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, I'll guarantee you, if you'll do that. Let's just, right, just pay all to Jesus, I surrender. I'd like for 10 or 15 men, a few ladies you want to come, let's just close tonight. Let's pray for Brother Jody, and let's pray for this church, that we'll love Jesus and love his word, and we'll love the pastor and love each other. Let's just come. Just let's pray that God would fill us with the Holy Ghost, and that we'll be filled with the love of God in our heart. Brother Jack, why don't you pray for us to close, right, if you will.
Yeah. No families don't do that. Governments don't do that. People don't do that more. But loving one another and loving God will answer all those problems. I thank you tonight for what we've heard. I thank you for the privilege of knowing Jesus. I thank you for the privilege of being part of this church, Lord God. And I love you tonight. And I want to serve you.
Yes.
Help us to do it for the glory of God. Not because we'll be called a big church. Not because we'll be called a lot of any kind of name.
Yes.
Lord of glory. And we'll praise you in your precious name.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ears. The sweetest name on earth. Sing it out. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
That was outstanding, wasn't it? Praise God for it. I'm glad we hold God's word in our hand, folks. Let's stick with it. It'll get the job done, no doubt about it. Amen. It's great to hear from our preacher. He's our preacher, no doubt about it. I may be the pastor, but he's the preacher, no doubt about it, you know. I'm going to ask the men, if you wouldn't mind to do this, to come forward. We've got a lady in our congregation, and it's been brought to my attention. She is a faithful, 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 faithful lady. It's been brought to my attention that she has a special need financially. I don't like doing this often. But as the Lord prompts and so on, I like to do this. My wife and I will be participating in this. I tell you what, if you wouldn't mind to play through something, if you'd like to have one of these love offering envelopes as she plays and they make their way up the aisle, if you'd like to have one of those,